Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And I hope everyone, most of our listeners, are enjoying summer right now. You could be on the other side of the world not having summer, but in most places we're in the middle of summer. And I'm actually on the East Coast today. I was in Hawaii a little over a month ago. So today we are going to be talking about New Orleans. Have you ever thought about moving to New Orleans? It's just such a fascinating city, fascinating area, full of entertainment and art and music, and what a wonderful history. Today, Wes McKibben, who is like probably one of the best people to talk about it, he is going to be our guest, and I can't wait to dig in and go over all this good information. Wes lives in New Orleans, but he actually is a national real estate and mortgage industry blogger who started in this industry as an FHA underwriter well over 25 years ago, working with urban communities nationwide, which makes him a perfect fit to become a national real estate and mortgage blogger as an expert. He's been doing for years, dealing with many people all over the country, many cities, many areas. It just fits right in. He knows what people are looking for, as well as comparing statistics, pros and cons between areas, affordability, growth, et cetera. And I'm just so excited to talk about, because New Orleans is another area that's up and coming, and he's got a lot of information that we can go over, as well as some of the other areas that affect us in this housing industry. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Wes. Hey there.
Hey, Natalie. Well, thank you for that warm introduction. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you for coming on. I know how swamped you are, keeping abreast of what's going on and blogging for all these people around the country. How do you do that? How do you kind of, I mean, I know you've been working on a long time. You have the ins on getting people to first place in every. So let me tell us a little bit about it.
Well,
you've done that with us,
you know,
and we're working
out
in Hawaii.
Yeah, it started out several years ago. Actually, after the real estate bust back in 2007, I had decided that, well, that was about it for me. I didn't want to go back to another mortgage company and start all over again. And as things started getting a little bit better, I had just a ton of content. I had spent many years working with various lenders around the country and helping their account reps developing those marketplaces and talking about product and working with different local real estate companies around the country. And anyway, so it became obvious that I wanted to put this in a blog format, and did like everybody else, got a WordPress blog and started just, you know, typing my heart out and talking about places. And it wasn't too long after that, I guess that was about 2011, that I got noticed by some national lenders and started ghostwriting for some people. And just, you know, it kind of built from there. I had that little blog and started some groups and was over at LinkedIn, and I've got that up to about 15,000 members over at my LinkedIn communities or group.
Wow.
And then I moved, like everybody else, over into Facebook, and I was popular down here in New Orleans with Facebook and LinkedIn, and having that national exposure or data, I started expanding out and kept on just getting further and further away from New Orleans and into different areas because, you know, it just seemed, you know, I let the blog take me wherever it was going to go.
I know. We met you through Hawaii, and you've been wonderful at getting the placement up in Hawaii, and it just seems so easy for you to do it in a matter of months versus years that some people are taking, and without having to have paid placement. That's, I think, the big, big key, because so many people have to pay in order to get a top placement.
Well, it is. You know what? It's not like 5 years ago or 8 years ago. It used to be that you could basically start a blog, and, you know, within 6 months, if you did it actively, you could get to page one on homes for sale in your city.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, that has just totally, completely changed. If I had known what it was going to take to get local, I probably wouldn't have done it at the time. But by the time I realized what was going on, I was so far into it, I couldn't stop. And it's a whole different route now with all these social media, you know, search engine optimization companies and all the different agencies that are out there. You really have to reach out. You have to make something national. For me, I had started out with 203K, which is a home renovation financing
tool.
The FHA
203K, okay.
Right, and I saw myself getting on page one with FHA 203K bloggers. And then I discovered from that I could then go back locally and start hitting these lenders and start talking about that product at the local level in the cities and getting ranked under that keyword. And over time, that's what I was going for. And then I realized, well, I'm talking about all these houses and I'm talking about other things and other financing tools. And I started popping up in different keywords at the local level. And it dawned on me, you know, it's just like I would say, oh, this is how it works. You have to go national, then you can go local, and that's the new way of getting there. Recently, less than a month ago, my network hit into keywords for content media. And if you go to like Google and you typed in content media for mortgage lenders, for general contractors, real estate agents, or homes for sale, with the word content media in front of it, you'll see my network, my LinkedIn pages, my Pinterest pages, blog is coming in. It's coming all into page one. And those are national keywords. And basically it's what I do from that point is I can, now that I have this level, this national level, I can then start talking about local areas, local cities, the neighborhoods,
right.
And just drive my – what I'm doing is I'm creating Google Plus communities. And it works a lot like Facebook. I call it Facebook on steroids because it has all those extra tools that Facebook doesn't have, and it's perfect for business. And I'm creating the communities, and I'm blogging about neighborhoods and the cities, and I'm putting that all into the communities, and I'm breaking them all down by neighborhood for each city. And then what we're going to do is we're going to be bringing in some local industry professionals, the real estate agents, home builders, mortgage lenders, general contractors, and there'll be other people that are involved in the community, and maybe they won't be industry related. There's this one fella down that I've met in New Orleans, pretty interesting character. He's an urban farmer. And I wanted to bring him into it because he's talking about things in the Ninth Ward and just, you know, helping out the community. So that's all. I talk about neighborhoods and what makes a neighborhood
right.
thrive.
Right, you're just amazing.
What's
and that's what I know with Hawaii, and then we want to work with you with the network around the country because it's just a no-brainer what you're doing. And you kind of have an edge in doing this and make it easy.
And what's good – Yeah, what's good is that coming in is that with those Google Plus communities, we can have a hub. Those are going to come to page one with our network. And they're, of course, going to be at the top because it's Google. But this way, all of us that's in the group, we can now start talking to homebuyers right there. You know, we'll be in homes for sale, real estate agents, you know, all the different keywords. And we can just start talking to our customers. And you know, educating them on how easy it is to buy a home versus renting, you know?
You know, and there's, you know, we're finding right now so many people are ending up renting because the qualifications have changed, even though the interest rates are so low that you would think more people could buy. But there's just a lot of so many changes that are stopping that now. So, yeah, I want to dig into more of it because what you're doing is just amazing, and it's and you have such a background which lends itself to really know what's going on. I have to tell you, a lot of us old timers in the industry are getting so frustrated with the reality shows, with the all these different things happening that are making buyers and sellers believe that they're an expert, right? Which is,
right.
It's wonderful to have the internet. It's wonderful to have the knowledge. And many people, they can sell their own home and buy a home without a lot of help. You really have to make sure your coverage on the contracts and protect yourself from the legal situations, and they need to get help with financing. But there is an art to negotiating, and there also is there are stipulations and things to be careful and beware of in certain communities or certain rules, guidelines, things they may not know if they don't work with a professional. And we're seeing that it's going, oh, my God, I'm getting, you know, people are asking things that just don't make sense, or they're getting the pricing is so skewed on the internet now. I won't mention the companies that are having it very skewed, and I hope they'll get it straight. So one time it may make sense, the other time another place it doesn't. One property may make sense, another one doesn't. But a lot of buyers and sellers reading this information are feeling like they are getting good information, and they're not always getting good information. Hence, that's why I love what you're doing, and you're saying people can actually talk. The agents can talk directly to the consumer right there on the blogs, right in the community. It's good, solid information. It's information from people that are, you know the areas, know what the rules are, and I think it helps. I call it, like with our network, with Realty Universal, it's buyers and sellers, agents and brokers, people working together, and we're giving people the ability to do this part on their own that they can do, but not be alone. And I think what you're doing ties in beautifully with that, and my hat's off to you, because when you have all the experience you've had, it just makes it easier to know that you know what you're doing. You know, let's get down and dig in into New Orleans some, because many people may be thinking of moving to New Orleans, and I think the first thing we think when we haven't lived there is, oh my gosh, the levees! What, that was such a nightmare to watch that and hear that and see the people go through that.
You know, there's been a lot. You know, New Orleans is coming back. There was a lot of devastation with Katrina. That pretty much is what brought me into the New Orleans market. I had been here as an underwriter and working on it and you know, got involved with the locals. But pretty much at the time, I was working on the lending side of everything. And when that happened, there was definitely a need for renovation. So I started, you know, trying to do my part and help people out, and just started blogging and explaining about the, you know, the FHA. There's a rehab program for devastated areas, and, you know, starting with that. And that attracted a bunch of local real estate agents into my network because they didn't know this stuff. And what I was just simply trying to do is pass on the information as an underwriter. This is the product, this is how it works, and this is what you can do with it. And that got me really popular down here. And, of course, hence that spread me out around the country going forward. But New Orleans has had had its fair share. Katrina hit. But that's been 10 years, and we've recovered quite a bit. We're back to pre-Katrina population levels right now. It's taken that long just to get back to where we were at. There's a lot of growth going on down here right now. And I would say this past summer, the amount of new construction that's going on is just phenomenal. You see it everywhere. And that's great, because if it's happening here, it's happening all around the country. It's going to spark, and I think it's going to be happening real soon for a lot of us. The city's come back. Of course, you know, you have the heart of New Orleans, which is its commercial area, and that was the first thing to be healed. But we still have a lot of neighborhoods that are still facing employment issues. A lot of things got devastated. A lot of homes got wiped out. Areas where there's no grocery stores for 2.5 miles, you know. There's just, you know, it's hard to live in these areas. But, you know, slowly we're coming back and redeveloping them, and we've built the, you know, we fixed the levees, and unfortunately they're not back to they should be at level five, but they're back to level three.
Why is that? Is that because it just takes the money and it takes time to do it?
Well, level three, you know, Katrina was our first category five, you know, and so to build back to that level five would take, you know, just billions of dollars, and, you know, there's so much money that goes around.
I don't understand why three versus five. How much more is it for two more levels that's going to really stop this? Because that's, you know, storms are becoming more prevalent. I don't get that. I don't understand why there weren't
those are issues that we'll probably never know a good answer for. It's just the way the budgets go, and it's a scary thought. I was watching something not too long ago. Down south of us, south of New Orleans, you know, of course, it goes out into the Gulf, and it gets very, very low. It's just right at sea level. And there's communities out there that are just way out. I mean, they're right in the water. Any of this rising, in fact, I saw where probably the first people that are going to have to be relocated because of rising waters are going to be down here in New Orleans. We've lost a tremendous amount of land over the past 20 years out, you know, as you go out, the marshes are gone, and we're going to have to build seawalls, and there's going, you know, the next 50 years is going to be an interesting time around all the coastal cities. You know, it's not just us, but if you look at Florida, Miami, you know, it's having its fair share of issues.
Right.
It can't rain in
right.
Miami without causing flooding everywhere. So that's because the sewers are, you know, they flood up real fast, and they're going to have to build pumps, and then that's not going to work, and there's going to have to be other initiatives to get things going.
Yeah, and you have different areas. Like 350, is it square miles? I have to look. It can't be that many. It's not that. I know I was reading they've got over 380,000 population. I'm looking at, because it's not a huge, huge, that's pretty big, though, actually.
Are you talking about New Orleans?
But not, yeah.
And then, you know what, you've got Lake Pontchartrain, so we're down to the south of Lake Pontchartrain, and then you've got Matry and Kenner and Gonzales, and then going north, you've got Baton Rouge and Hammond and Denham Springs and Slidell. So the metropolitan area is a pretty large area around here. Pretty much, I would say, and of course, naturally, we're the largest in the Gulf Coast as a metro area. But it extends, actually, I would say the area extends from Gonzales, which is west of Lake Pontchartrain, all the way to Pascagoula, Mississippi, which is right on the border of Alabama. And, you know, that whole coastline there is just, I think right over here in Mississippi, there's actually over 1 million people living right down over here. So, and we're a lot smaller than New Orleans. Yeah.
So somebody wants to come in and move to New Orleans, you say it the correct way. I think I'm saying New Orleans improperly. New Orleans, right? They want to move in, and they could. Can they buy a house for under $100,000 all the way up to whatever? I'm looking at the numbers here.
Oh, sure. You know what? New Orleans is we have moderate incomes down here. This is the South. You know, the wages aren't really high up here, but home affordability is also within reach. You can find a lot of homes for around $100,000. You know, I wouldn't say that was the average one. And, of course, you know, the more you're going to pay, the better neighborhoods that you're going to be in, needless to say. But you know what? I mean, what one person is attracted to is not necessarily what another person is attracted to. Especially when you get into younger people, they're very different. You know, the millennials are very different. They're looking to move back into the city. And as they come back in, they're looking to redevelop. They're going to be rehabbing those flats and condos and duplexes and, you know, and it just happens one little house at a time. And as those areas, you know, get redeveloped and the prices go up, and that's a good thing for everybody. But it's very affordable. Now, you know, if you want to live in the really nice areas of New Orleans, you're going to pay, you know, anywhere from $200,000 to $400,000 for a home easily. Not a big house, but it'll be a nice one. But you know, there's a lot of $80,000 and $90,000, $120,000 homes. Wages are low.
Like when, if the levies are only, if they're only a level three, I don't know that I may want to be in that area. I may want to go to a
That's
level five. So is
it right? Right.
And there's
it's
areas that you can
consider.
Do that in. Yeah.
Right, and not
yeah.
all of New Orleans is actually like the French Quarter. It's actually below sea level. It's in a bowl. Not all of New Orleans is that area. There, you know, as you move further up north toward the lake, you're getting into some, you know, higher ground. And you're moving away from the levees, from the Mississippi River or different places like that. And there's, you know, the great neighborhoods that are very, very affordable. The nice thing about New Orleans in this area is that it's becoming extremely attractive to millennials coming in. There are a lot of hot spots around the country. Austin, Texas is another one. You know, but New Orleans definitely ranks up in there. We've gotten very popular over the last few years with our television. The movie industry has moved in here. They're
a
big employer in
producers.
The state. There's a lot of filming going on in the state, and that's creating a lot of jobs. They're low-wage jobs. They're not paying the wages of New York and D.C. and, you know, Seattle and L.A. But when you compare everything, the price of homes versus your wages and the quality of life down here and the different things you get and the culture that, you know, we're an old city. We've been around for a long, long time. And you have all this wonderful culture and you have all these people from all over the world coming in to experience New Orleans. And there's a lifestyle down here. You know, it's a wonderful
yeah.
place and people are discovering it left and right.
It's known as a Crescent City. So this is where I was pronouncing it. It says pronounced New Orleans. Orleans. You're saying Orleans. Orleans.
New
not
Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
L-U-N-S. Otherwise, it says if you don't want to sound like a giant neon hanging from your forehead that reads, I'm not from here, right? That's what I was in New Orleans. So it's like when you look at, it's like, it's really, the Crescent City, it is such a phenomenal city. This is where jazz, it's the birthplace of jazz. And they do Broadway shows there, like Broadway type shows, right? Comedy shows. I mean, it seems like the culture, like you said, you can just, is just amazing. If somebody's into music, art,
Everything.
Is that pretty much in town? Would that get flooded? I guess because that's low levels. If it's near the French Quarter, would that get flooded if you're moving in there?
Well, no. You know what? You know, a lot of the affordable areas. If you're up around Gentilly and Little Woods, which is closer up north to the lake, the downtown area is closer to the Mississippi River. The Mississippi River runs south of us. It runs from the west, and then it just south of the city, and then it feeds out into the Gulf. But as you're moving further up north, you're getting into higher ground. These are still very affordable,
so
desirable areas.
If you wanted to be out in the area, you could actually have affordable housing, but then maybe, what, take a 20-minute ride into the city? I mean, to where if you're looking at just trying
exactly.
to get a gauge on it.
Exactly.
Really?
There's a lot of things going on all around the city. We're different. We're the culture down here is like special. You know, it starts out with Mardi Gras, and Mardi Gras goes on all over the coast. You can just go from one city to the next, and there's parades and things going on. It's not just New Orleans. It's the area.
Mardi Gras is huge.
Yeah, I mean, the city has just got, there's boating and sailing and you know, that we've got just a lot of, there's fishing if you're in the Eagle Forth and all that's down here, you know. It's a great place.
I never knew. I always thought Mardi Gras was definitely there, and they said it started in Mobile, Alabama, and then moved over to New Orleans.
I was in the Air Force 40 years ago. And was stationed down in Tyndall Air Force Base in Panama City. And during Mardi Gras, I used to take a road trip from Panama City all the way to New Orleans, and I would stop in every little town along the way.
Did you really?
Join in the festival. Oh, yeah, you can spend a whole week getting to New Orleans, you know, just going to all the different parades and festivals that, you know, you just pop in and work your way across, and then you end up in New Orleans.
Wow.
And enjoy the day. Or the week, or however long it takes you to get through whatever you're getting through.
Yeah, it says it was under Spanish rule, and then a lot, I mean, for a fire that spread in the 1700s, or I'm reading this from Movauto.com, there was
uh-huh.
under Spanish rule, and most of the earlier French buildings were lost. Wow, it's really, so it probably looks like it has more of a Spanish history, although it has quite a French history as well.
There, yes, the culture. We have a lot of wrought iron, a lot of, it's a mixed culture. We have, down here, we were the city of the Caribbean. You know, we have a very strong Haitian influence here. There's a lot of Brazilians here. There's a lot of Creole. There's different people. There's French.
Creole.
There's there's Cajuns.
Wow.
A lot of the people when the war between France and Spain, and all the people, all the French people of Montreal, they panicked and they moved to New Orleans. This was their sister city.
Mm.
So we've had this migration over hundreds of years, and you know, it's assimilated, and it's also, you know, shown itself often in the different areas and neighborhoods and the architecture and it's a beautiful
city. Wow.
It's like I said, it's hundreds of years old. A lot of the places are historical, and the artwork. What was really a shame was when Katrina did come through, it devastated an awful lot, and there are a lot of neighborhoods that still need to be rebuilt. But you look at this old architecture, and you could take one of these homes. And that's what's great about those renovation programs, because you definitely you don't want to tear that house down that's 100 years old and it's got all that beautiful
right.
fascia on it, and just get in there and rehab it, you know, bring the neighborhood back to its original glory, you know, and that's what's great about millennials, because they're looking at these houses and saying, you know what, I can buy that house because it's inexpensive, because, you know, for a multitude of reasons, and then get that extra $100,000 into the mortgage and get it rehabbed and bring
sense.
It back, you know, make that beautiful little duplex and, you know, live in one and rent the other one out. You know, there's a lot of great options, and if you can get these houses at affordable costs, and you've got to be with the right realtor. You need to know the people
yeah.
you're working
yeah,
with.
Yeah, they need to know.
So you can say, you know,
well,
maybe, you know, this neighborhood is an up-and-coming neighborhood, and you can get in some good prices when you know the right.
I was reading, though, the first-time home buyers, they actually do have a lot of deals people can get in on, and then they've also, I was also reading where they said that now, I'm looking at that one. There's different Movado has places, too, but where they can actually get grants, that there's a lot of grants incentivization grants, I'm saying this wrong, from the government, and they can be larger the closer you get downtown, that they actually there's grants that they can apply for to get in $36,000 loan, $56,000 rehab loan, relocation grants to come to Orleans. You know, that's
I'm sure all kinds of things, you know, and of course, you know, we're as the economy recovers and the real estate industry recovers, there's going to be more money that are going to be funded into these programs. I don't think there's as much, assistance programs as there were 10 years ago, but I think they're going to start
right.
coming back, but you can still find them. And again, that's by knowing your real estate agent.
You have
knowing
to know,
your
you have to really check
those,
because otherwise you're going to miss it.
Right.
You're
those are the
it,
people
I think.
That are checking all the time. And, you know, those things have dollar amounts. You know, they'll put a,
right,
you know, $500
right.
million dollars into it. And that can go real fast. You know, it's gone in a flash. So you need to know the right people. And that's why we're creating those communities. So,
sure.
You know, so we can have this platform on page one that all of us can talk as a group of professionals and just let people know what's going on in this area and that area. And you know, to keep people apprised of, you know, the current trends in real estate.
No, absolutely, because it makes such a difference, because there's so much information
right.
out there, and you can get lost in the, like a needle in the haystack, because it's just too much. It's overwhelming. I was just mentioning it the other day. I was at a two-day workshop outside of Virginia Beach, and then had to come over towards Ocean City area, And I was just mentioning, everything has, we have so many options now, so many things to decipher, and there's just too much overload information. And this, so you're not going to always know about all these programs. If you Google and say what is out there, you may miss it. So it is really wise to get in touch with a local broker agent to find out what's going on. Call the county executive groups, call the local government offices, too. It's just really, what about the Stonebridge, Timberland Estates? There's different subdivisions. I guess a lot of subdivisions popping up. Churches, I'm just looking at different things. So it looks like you really can buy from all the way, like you said, under 100 all the way up to
$1 million,
I guess.
Easily. New Orleans, I think New Orleans has got about 190 neighborhoods, that, at least what I classify.
Okay.
And, you know, each one of them are unique. And, the housing price is just you know, from low to high. They're just – it's a great place. It's just absolutely a great place.
And then I guess somebody would want to check into schools, and they can just check the local school systems. Also, it's pretty amazing how many people are homeschooling children nowadays all across the country. They have really good curriculum programs that people can buy and then still utilize the schools for social activities. Now, I'm not pushing homeschooling at all, but I'm just saying it's really important for people to check into all of it and be able to find. Just, it seems so community-oriented with everything, with the festivities and the way people work together.
You
know, a lot of people had to leave.
A lot of the culture has changed. There's still a lot of it here. When Katrina hit, a lot of people got displaced, and a lot of that rich culture moved out. These people they're finally coming back, or some of them will never come back. The neighborhoods have changed. We have unique things going on. When there's a funeral going on down here, they have people that march through the neighborhoods and, with their horns and tambourines, and you don't see it as predominant. Yeah, this is something that's been going on for hundreds of years down here, and it was more predominant in certain neighborhoods than others, and it's less than it used to be, but it's still here, and I bet you it will come back as the city continues to recover. The culture is going to come back. It didn't die. It just got a little quiet for a while.
I'm looking in here in facts on Movado. It says, in fact, the Andy Mayan crew has more than 2,500 members and sees about 15,000 guests to its parades every year. I don't know what that
and
is.
And this goes on all year long because the weather's nice down here.
So there's about 80 parades a year, and they're the largest. It says the motto, really? Wow.
In New Orleans, a parade can strike out at any moment for no given reason. It's just what we do down here, it's the oddest
thing.
They
like to have fun.
And of course, if you give people an excuse to have a parade, then there's going to be hundreds of them going on all over. Like I said, if you're interested in all that kind of stuff, just start looking on Facebook in Mardi Gras time, and you'll just see people posting all kinds of stuff. And it's happening all over the city. It's not just the French Quarter, It's just what we do.
Yeah, if you're into music, acting, plays, all that, and just festivities, lots of great food. It sounds it's constantly. So the proximity, just like if I drew a circle around, you actually can live in the suburbs, come in, not be that far, so you can kind of get the best of both worlds. And like you said, the millennials really love to seem to be in the cities. It says Guinea's officially named the nearby lake, I'm not going to botch this up, Pontchartrain Causeway, the longest continuous bridge in the world. Pontchartrain.
Lake Pontchartrain, right. Actually, you can come out from, there's New Orleans in the south. There's Lake Pontchartrain. To the south, there's New Orleans. And to the west of New Orleans is Matry. It's another city. And right between the two is this huge, long bridge that goes straight across the lake. And then it leads into the North Shore. Beautiful area up there. In fact, I'm going to be looking in for a home up in Abida Springs, which is just on the other side of that that bridge. And Abida Springs is in a town. It's a bedroom community of Covington, Louisiana. It's beautiful. I call it the French Quarter in the forest or the swamp.
Really?
Yes, it's gorgeous. You'd love it. It's got back around the turn of the century, a lot of the people that needed to get healing, they needed rest, whatever they were healing from, surgery, whatever, they would come up to Abida Springs and they would recuperate. And we have all these mineral springs up here. And in fact, I don't drink the water down here out of the pipes. So I purposely go to Abida Springs once a week and fill up at least 75 gallons worth of water every week, put them in my Jeep and bring them home because the water is just really tasty and it's great water. But
really,
I'm wanting
to
get
good.
A place. Oh, it's wonderful, and it's known for its mineral waters. I think they have a company down here now that's producing it and selling it around the U.S. It's a small little venture going on, but Abida Springs is neat in that if you've ever been to
Abida
French Quarter, you see all these beautiful duplexes. You'll find the same type of housing structure up there in Abida Springs. But the difference with that is that's the swamp. It's the high area of the swamp. You have Lake Pontchartrain, then you have the North Shore, and all around the North Shore is our swamp with our cities in it. And it's like a forest. I can't describe a swamp to you. It's very, very, very beautiful, very green. And then you have these beautiful homes that are 80, 90, 100 years old, and they're just speckled all over the city. And like I said, it looks just like the French Quarter, except in a swamp. And I'm looking forward to getting up there.
Really?
That's where I want to be.
But what about if the levee? That's not going to be anywhere near levees. You're just in a swamp, right? It's not near the water.
Well, right.
Water,
no.
Right?
The levees are down toward the river, the Mississippi River.
Right.
But now again, we're on that Abida Springs. It's probably 4 miles from Lake Pontchartrain, and that's huge. And we have storm surge, and a lot of places are in flood zones. It's something where there's a neat little town called Madisonville. Again, it's in the North Shore around Abida Springs, Covington. But they're right on the lake. And if you drive around now, what they've done is most of those little houses, they put them on 8-foot pillars. Everything is just going above ground.
Oh, really?
And it's still pretty. I'm telling you, it looks, the way they're doing it, it's like, okay, this looks good because we're used to having those houses anyways. But everybody's just pushing up because that's, they're realizing, we're going to have to deal with this global warming and rising waters and as those storms come in,
you
got to do something. Right.
There's a lot of rentals and sales right there. There's probably both. I would think the rentals are probably a good reasonable
good
as
market.
Well.
Yeah, good market to be into if you're an investor, and especially you can come in there and be buying these properties, and if you know how to buy them right and rehab them and turn them into rental properties. Yes, because we are definitely on the map. I think in a lot of places you'll see us you'll see New Orleans is in the top 10 growth cities where millennials
wow.
are coming to.
It's important to buy flood
growth.
Insurance, which is very. Oh God, I'm sorry.
No, you were saying about flood insurance?
Yeah, it's so important to check into flood insurance and see if you can buy it through FEMA because flood insurance is very expensive these days, but it's worth having if you're going to be in an area that could be risky, so it's really important to check that out.
Louisiana, I mean, we're on the coast, okay? It's just low-lying
right.
water, and you got to remember there are things that you have to understand about living in this part of the country. The Gulf of Mexico is the hottest body of water in the world.
Wow.
And when one of those hurricanes get in there, that's just nothing but fuel for them. So you need to be prepared. You need to know,
you want to check that out because if you're going to buy a house, you want to put that in your contract to find out what the costs are. And you can go to FEMA.org and type in a property and get and you know get an estimate, a good guesstimate, you know, if flood insurance is needed, but flood probably is, and then you can also contact an insurance agent, because you want to know what that is. You don't want to end up in a situation
right.
that you know, you think you're buying and your budget's this price, and then all of a sudden you have to pay so many thousand a year for flood insurance. So that's really important to check that out if you're getting
and
a loan.
And it can be. You know what? If you're in a flood zone down here, just like anywhere else, it has skyrocketed.
Right,
I had a friend of mine recently
really big
that,
to think of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who had a condo, and his kids wanted the house, and he just laughed at him. He said, "You can't afford it." And he wasn't talking about the condo. He was talking about the flood insurance
right.
for the unit, you know.
Right,
now,
really
this was
important
years
to
ago.
Check out.
Yeah. Oh, very important, very important. But, again, any place that you move to, you have to know the environment, and we're working
exactly.
on addressing the issues that are coming into play that we're going to have to be living with for the next
and
100
so
years.
So cool. I want to get a couple other things. I want to get to this. Some interesting facts there too. It's like they says there's termites everywhere, so you have to be careful when you inspect when you buy. And the other thing to really watch out for, I was reading, is a toxic drywall. After Hurricane Katrina, a lot of homes in the area
right.
were being rebuilt using what's now been deemed as toxic drywall. Now, you would think the Balders would have been more careful, but I guess...
you know, I think, though, that was... Isn't that called... Don't they call that stuff that Chinese drywall? There was a lot...
They do. I've heard that.
Years ago, right, right. There, you know what? But that I had a cousin up in Alabama that had... She had a $40,000... She has to... It's going to cost her $40,000 to rip out all the drywall in her house because she used
wow.
that drywall. And a lot of us didn't know
wow.
that around the country at the time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something that you need to – that's why it's good to have a realtor, to have those disclosures and check all that stuff out. You know,
right.
especially when you're
right.
looking at homes that have been around for 100 years or 80 years. And, yeah, we have termites. They're – In fact, we have some beautiful oak trees down here, and I think about 10 or 15 years ago, they were literally killing the trees, live trees. They were going after the oak trees and just devastating them. So, you know,
wow.
had to find the right
you know,
pesticides to bring them
down. We have a lot of termites in Hawaii because they love the tropical weather, and I guess where you are,
right.
you're around the water, and it's moist, and
uh-huh.
they love it. They do really well. So,
right, right. They do very, very well. They are your neighbors.
Those are things to really watch out for because, I mean, and you know, just to make sure, because somebody might say, hey, oh, my gosh, that deal, that house is $20,000, but it should be $200,000. There's a reason,
right.
you know. You need to really want to check
reason.
It out.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why you have those. But you know what? There are a lot of those houses you can get at a steal, and then you have to look at them and say, what can I do to bring it back? And then you find the financing tools to do it. I mean, I've had people buy – now, this was years ago. This is back when I was underwriting. But
mm-hmm.
there were times I knew people up in like Shreveport that this young couple, I was really impressed with them. They bought a little house that they bought about paid about $80,000 for it and put probably about $30,000 into it. And you know, when you do those renovation loans, you get a before and after appraised value, and the
right.
house was going to be reappraised once they did all the work, would come over $200,000. So,
right.
and they were getting the $30,000 financing, and they were only having to put 3.5% down. And
fantastic.
Once they finished, it was going to take 4 months to maybe rehab the property. And then all of a sudden, they were going to have $70,000 worth of equity. That's the way you buy a home. You know, that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Now,
and not have the fear because, oh, this isn't going to work. Check it out first and see if the numbers work for you, right? And all the that's,
right. And what's nice about those,
that.
You've got that realtor and you've got that lender and you've got those consultants and everybody's working with you. You know, there's a group of professionals that are advising you. Once you understand the concept of how to do all this stuff, it's really not that difficult. But, again...
Now,
It's a lot for one person to know, but if you have a group of professionals that are working with you for your end goal, and that's why we're creating those communities. We're talking about all that stuff, and we're going to put that in the communities up there.
Wes McKibben, why don't you go ahead and give your contact information, too? And I know you have the Home Buyers Corner, how people can find you with the website and other contact
information.
I know you definitely do not like the phone, so we won't – We won't ask for your phone number because you definitely do not like phones. But
I'm not a big phone person. Actually, you know what? I am social media, so that's the easiest place to find me is on Facebook. It's just Wes McKibben, and go to Facebook and hook up with me there. I've got a group. It's called the Home Buyer's Corner on Facebook. I've got a group, the Home Buyer's Corner. I always use that over on LinkedIn. And, of course, there's Home Buyer's Corner on Google+. But where I'm really talking to industry professionals a lot is on Facebook. It's a nice little place that – just the best place to find me. You know, I'm always there.
Right.
And that's good place.
Wow. Do you believe we're almost – we have about 15 minutes left. We're going to go over some the New Orleans. I'm not going to say it right. It's going to take me time to do that. New Orleans,
Orleans.
Right? New Orleans.
It's one word, New Orleans.
Say New
Orleans.
Orleans. Huh?
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Just one
it's
word.
So easy for you. It's just so easy. It just rolls out of here. You know, you're but me, I'm thinking, keep wanting to go. New Orleans. And
Right. Wow.
That is so I just love it. Oh, I see. I'm reading a couple of things. It said you don't call a sub, you call it a po' boy.
A po' boy.
Po' boy.
Yeah, a po' boy.
A po' boy.
Yeah, that's real popular around
it's
here.
Like P O B O Y. A po' boy, but you don't say po' boy either, huh?
Po' boy. Yeah.
Oh my.
Just local slang. It's really, I tell you what, it's great down here when I've got an old a friend of mine who is his elderly black man, about 85, and he's welcomed me into this community over here in Mississippi. And every once in a while we'll be at the store or something, and he and all of his old friends are together, and I can't even begin to understand the accent, but they're just talking up a storm. And it's this old southern Mississippi dialect, and when you listen to it, you just want to have a recorder, you know, and just tape it, because you wonder how long it's going to last, because, you know, you don't hear it from the 50 and 60-year-olds. It's people my age. You're hearing it from those older men, that generation.
Really?
And unfortunately,
it's kind of
you know, they're
a little bit.
It's beginning to. It's just a dialect and they have their own accent, and it's fascinating. You know, but every area's got its culture like that. We have these different areas that over here and over in Mississippi. There's a lot of Cajuns and Creoles. You have that state line. We have them on both sides. But then they have their old families and, you know, and their own cultures, and you can go from neighborhood to neighborhood, and it's like I said, a long time. People have been around here.
That sounds wonderful.
It's a great place.
I'm reading the New Orleans Superdome is one of the largest enclosed arenas in the world. Wow.
Yeah.
So they have sports come in too, and all kinds of. Wow.
Oh yeah, well you know we're big football fans down here. You know, the St. Louis Saints and
Saints.
You know,
to the Pelicans.
Everything. Right, everything. It's like I said, it's a great city. It's been 10 years. We've rebuilt most of it. It's coming back. They have wonderful trolleys all over New Orleans, and you can just, you know, you don't really need a car. If you're an urbanite and you're living in the city and you can walk to work and you can catch the trolleys and ride your bicycles. The good thing is that most of the land is flat. So if you're an avid bicycle rider, you can get around on a two-wheeler, you know. And
pretty
it's
easily,
not like you have to face all those hills and, you know. So there's ways to get around the city and enjoy.
You know, I was down there for the NAR convention a few years ago, not that long ago, and I took a tour, and I ended up doing a cemetery tour, and it was interesting to me. Well, they took you around the Ninth Ward, and they were pointing out, unfortunately, when people, when the Hurricane Katrina hit, you know, they were marking the doors of somebody, how many people were in the house, people were alive or not alive. That was pretty sad. What I thought was with the cemeteries, I didn't realize this. I mean, I know in some Spanish countries, Spanish customs, some other areas, I thought it was interesting how the cemeteries were called cemetery cities. And what I found interesting is that you had like these crypts, and they're all above ground, where we're usually used to burying in the ground, or you can have the above ground, but usually it's one person in there. But what I thought was interesting is they had these high cemetery, these like crypts, but family members for years were buried on top of each other in there.
Well, actually,
you don't
bury on top. What you do is you just add more into the crypt. It's
wow.
very hot down here. And
but
what
it's a
happens
big crypt.
Is
the, I mean, it's tall. Oh, really? Okay.
They're tall. They're big. And like Marie Laveau, I think she's got 24 of her neighbors with her. That's why we're sitting
oh, wow.
there. The, and what happens is, it's got a little gross, a little morbid. You know, somebody dies, and you have the big parade, and you drive, we walk them by their house, and you take them to the crypt, and you put them in the crypt, and you seal it back up. And within a few years, you know, you just turn to dust with the roaches and termites and everything in there joining
yeah.
in. And basically, when it's time for another family member to come in, you just push all that stuff to the back, put that next one in there, seal it back up, and this has been going on for hundreds of years. So you'll have a lot of people buried in the different crypts. A whole bunch
yeah,
of people.
Yeah, they
so
were mentioning something about, like, if someone died within the year, they would wait and store the body somewhere else and then bring it in. I don't know. So, like,
oh,
two people
yeah,
died
they're
in the
waiting
same
for the
year,
other one
people?
To decay.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ew, but I mean, it works. And then you see on the side, you see like the name, you know, the year and the name, the year and the name, the year, a whole list of people.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
I guess
that's,
it works. I
yes.
mean, it would. I found that interesting though when I was like, okay, that's different, but not totally different. I guess because I've it's been done in other places, but wow.
Yeah, it's unique down here, but yeah, it's just those crypts just keep on getting reused and reused. You just put the next one in, you know. It's just, that's kind of the way it goes. I think we got three cemeteries, St. Louis. I think Marie Laveau was in that St. Louis Cemetery number one, I believe. And you know what? There's been so much popularity with that. The Catholic diocese owns all that land. And I think they've closed the cemetery off now because there was just too much tourists going into it. But the other cemeteries, I think there's one and two and three are still you can go and check out. And they
wow.
have tours and all that good stuff and all the voodoo stuff going on down here with all that. And, yeah, some of it's real, some of it's not.
I just love it. I'm just like, there's a few fun facts I wanted to read. The sources, of course, we always give the sources. Buddy Stahl, an introduction, Bird Slip Pocket Guides, Visitor Guide to World Industrial and Cotton Centennial Exposition. It's at Tulane School of Business is the oldest college of commerce in the U.S. there.
Uh-huh.
It says that I'm just among the holdings. Hold on, I'm looking at this. Of Louisiana State Museum is a death mask of the face of Napoleon Bonaparte, cast by uh-huh. his attending physicians a day and a half after he died on the island of St. Helena. I'm looking in. It says that Canal Street, once the widest street in the world, was named for a canal that was planned for but never built. On the street's dividing medium. I didn't know that, median. For
I
decades,
didn't either,
the medium's no. only use was public transportation, mostly by the Canal Street streetcars. This is so cute, though. In 1813, Governor Claiborne offered a $500 reward for the capture of legendary pirate Jean Lafitte. Lafitte
right.
countered by posting a $1,500 reward for the capture of Claiborne. Is that too funny? I mean, like in those days, I guess they kind of got away with what they wanted to do. It's got
yeah.
the Ursuline nuns braved 5 months of high seas, pirates, shipwreck, and sickness to come to New Orleans in 1727. Their convent, located at Ursulines and Chartres Street, was supposed to be constructed within 6 months of their arrival, and it took 7 years. It's
right.
so
wow.
it's founded in 1718. It's
uh-huh.
it's so much history. I love it. I love it.
Oh, it's full of it. It's just a great city. It's got, and you know what? And of course, with our culture being, there's a lot of French people here. There's a lot of French history. It's tied into Europe. We're connected with it. We have a very mm-hmm. you know close relationship with Europe and that influence is we've been part of Spain and we've been part of France and part of America and we still are, of course, but you know all that history is all right here in the city, and it shows up in the architecture and the people
I love that old
right.
architecture in the homes, you know. And I was reading it said a lot of them look Spanish because many got wiped out over the years with the floods, but I think that it's just spectacular. There's just so many facts about it. It says the largest municipal park in the country, New Orleans City Park, was also home to the famous Dueling Oaks, where Creole gentlemen frequently met to settle scores with swords, pistols, sometimes
right.
even bowie knives. Oh,
uh-huh.
my.
Amazing. Yeah.
And Jackson
yes,
Monument,
you know,
to General
Andrew.
Okay.
You think about these cities on the east, you think about things, and you think about them being on the east coast, and way over here in the mid part of the country, is this old, old, you know, European-influenced city. Here it is. We're different from Denver and Milwaukee and,
right.
and you know, different
right.
parts of. Even though we're over way over here, we have more of that east coast, you know, thing going on because we've
yeah.
just been around for such a long, long time.
Oh, I love it. It's a young high society Creole maidens were not allowed to wear velvet or glance into the eyes of young men. it says that the monument of General Andrew Jackson at Jackson Square was the world's first equestrian statue in which the horse had more than 1 foot off the base. Oh, this is cute. Several of Louisiana's lovely historic plantations feature floor-level mirrors in which ladies can ensure that no ankle was showing.
Oh,
well,
we're not as
nice,
conservative
nice.
As we used to be.
Well, you know, yeah, right, I guess not, so especially some parts, right?
right.
Some parts are. But it's really nice when you see, like, with the European culture, you know, you see the old historic and the,
okay.
the things and get to, and it sounds like you have a lot of that there.
It's great. There, you know, there's one, I like to find things to build on when I'm blogging, and one of the things that I plan on talking about this year is going to be the Amtrak. They're trying to bring it back. And it would be so nice is if when you leave New Orleans and if you went east, you would run into, of course, Mississippi, and there's Bay St. Louis and Gulfport and Biloxi and Ocean Springs and all that. And the train rail runs through there, and there's this great little town called Bay St. Louis. And it's within an hour's drive of New Orleans, and it's got beautiful beaches.
Wow.
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof was filmed in Bay St. Louis. So that kind of gives you the feel of what that little beach town looks like. And if we can just get the train going back into, you know, the Amtrak activated again down here and stopping off in Bay St. Louis and Gulfport, that would be great.
Did that stop because of the flood? Did that stop because of the flood?
Well, no, just, you know what, I mean, Amtrak has just gone through, you know, a lot of different issues and you know, for the last 50 years and affordability and a lot of lines were cut down. And this was one that they had cut off, but they're looking at bringing the Amtrak back. And I just think
okay.
it would be. I think it would be a great idea because if you, not only is there New Orleans, but you have this beautiful coastline. You know, you can't get down to the beach around New Orleans because we have the marshes and, you know, they don't really have beaches down there, but Mississippi does,
mm-hmm.
and we're just right next door. So, you know, if you have that train ride, if you could get off the train station is right downtown, you're within less than a mile to the beach, you know, think about it, day off, just like if you were in New York and going to Jones
sure.
Beach, you know, the same thing. You're in New Orleans
yeah.
and you want to get to the bay, you jump on the train, you go over to Bay St. Louis, you spend the day. They've got all these beautiful little shops and boutiques and, you know, it's a great place to spend. So,
right.
And the infrastructure has been rebuilt down here. So
that's
Bay
important.
St. Louis, for example, it's got all this old charm and all these beautiful houses, but it's also got the infrastructure to handle the tourism, and what needs
oh,
to
okay.
be turned on is that transport between New Orleans to Bay St. Louis, and we're hoping that, you know, the Amtrak will be that engine that will get things going. So, you know, it's just
is
time.
Is that planned? Oh, that's been any time soon, or?
Well, I went to they had their initial train ride. The governor came down, all the dignitaries, and I went to all that, and that was about 4 months ago, and I saw something on the news. They're getting ready to see about doing some, you know, state fundings and you know, so hopefully they'll get the money to start doing whatever they need to do. If they turn it on and they get it going, I think it'd be a great idea. I just think, you know, because
wow, I do too.
It's I can't imagine anything greater than being in New Orleans and just being able to jump on a trolley and then jump on a train and then you're at the beach in 30 minutes, you know, and spending the afternoon. And then heading back to the city, and then you've got all your nightlife or whatever it is you like doing, you know, in the city,
that urban lifestyle. I love it. It sounds wonderful. We are almost at the end. We've got about we have about less than a minute right now.
We're gonna sign off.
We're gonna have to have you back on too. You're just amazing. I love this, and I love the idea with the communities getting in and discussing the things that people wouldn't know. Just you know, in the and that's
well,
where
definitely
it does
you guys. I mean, everybody who's
lovely.
Listening, just check out our blog and see what we're doing down here. You know, we're going to be making New Orleans a happening place for you know, and like I said, millennials, we want you to come down. It's wonderful. It's affordable.
It's definitely affordable and have all that and then. Have all that culture, just wonderful.
All of culture. Yes, it definitely has full of culture. It's a wonderful place.
Sounds like fun. I've been there, but I wasn't there long enough. I'll have to come back out and check it out. So, Wes, thank you very, very, very much for coming on. This has been fun. I have to do it
again.
Well,
I appreciate it.
And we will talk soon. To everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.